Well, for this morning's devotion, I'll be reading from 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 4 to 11. But rather than read that first, which is normal for a devotion, I'll be reading that towards the end. And because it's a great comfort, this passage. But there's some dark things that we have to confront in our world today. It seems that with every passing week, the world is plunged into greater darkness and chaos. And we saw that this week with the passing of a well-known young Christian man, Charlie Kirk, murdered, assassinated in cold blood in broad daylight. And that's where our world has gone to. Quite sad. And for what? Saying things, true things, I would say, that people feel upset them or they don't agree with. But that's just one instance of where our world is at. You look on a global scale and you see there's conflict, there's global upheaval all around. For example, in Paris or in France, they're having political turmoil, having gone through three different prime ministers in the last several months. Today, the Germans were having an election, not a federal election, but an election for their most populous area. And in the lead up to that, in the last few weeks, there's been a number of their political candidates have died. Now, they report that they are of natural causes, and who am I to say? Maybe they are, some of them. One was of suicide, but seven candidates from the right-wing political party, and that, from what a statistician said, was statistically impossible. I leave that with you. Make of it what you will. But there are countless other things that go on in our world that don't get reported or are not well known, maybe. For instance, on September 8th, I was reading in one news article, not well reported, I don't think, but where 71 people had been murdered, butchered in the Congo when they were attending a funeral. And that was by an Islamic group called the Allied Democratic Force. I would say that's a bit of a misnomer. Allied Democratic, I don't think it's democratic. You must obey them, do what they say. And that very same group in this similar area, the very next day, murdered another 18. That goes largely unreported. We don't hear of these things. But then you think of the many personal testimonies, many personal things that each and every one of us are dealing with. Because we all go through difficulties of life, some more than others, but we all go through these periods. And many secular and even Christians will question if God is loving and is all-powerful, why do these things persist and, in fact, increase? And it's true, they are increasing. But God has clearly foretold, he has given us the comfort or the ease to tell us in advance that they would increase, especially in the latter days. And it's because, largely, there is obviously sin in this world, and this world is run by sinful people. Although God is in control over all, we also know that God has appointed man to rule in this world. In Romans 13 verse 1, Daniel 2 verse 21, 1 Peter 2 verse 13, it all clearly says that God has appointed men to certain roles, whether they be political, religious, judicial, to rule in this world and to do it in a just way that would be honoring to him, although largely in rebellion to him. But we also know that Psalm 115, verse 16 says, "The heavens, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men." That was the original intent. Man was to rule over the earth God created to honor him. But we know that with the sin of man in the garden, Adam, in a sense, gave up that birthright. And ever since, Satan has had some realm or some room to rule in this world. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4 speaks of that, how God has allowed Satan to operate in this world for a time. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4 says, "In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." See, even though that God has allowed Satan to operate for a time, it is still very much restrained by the Holy Spirit. And that's a sobering thought to think We see of the wickedness that is going on in this world, and it is still restrained to some degree. One day the restrainer, as 1 Thessalonians speaks of, will be removed in that he will not be restraining to the same capacity. Satan can only blind those, according to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, to the salvation of God, those who have openly and inwardly rejected this gospel. He only blinds those who are already believing not, it says. And it's not that they couldn't believe, for Titus 2, verse 11 says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." God has made it apparent to everyone. He has appeared to all. And Romans 5, verse 18 indicates it has been offered to all. "Therefore, by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation." That is, Adam's sin affected the human race. "Even so, by the righteousness of one," that's speaking of Jesus, his righteousness, "the free gift came upon all unto the justification of life." So simply put, evil exists and increases because man continues to reject the mercy of God, therefore remain in their condemned state, and are certainly manipulated by Satan's influence. Now they say a wild animal is most dangerous when it is injured. And Satan, ever since the resurrection of Jesus, certainly has been a much more injured animal because he rose, gave victory over death. And Satan is one that desires death. Here is the encouragement and comfort God wants us, those who believe upon him for salvation, upon Jesus, to have in this chaotic and dark world. First of all, he is very much still in control. Secondly, he has not abandoned us. And thirdly, he is coming again. And let us turn to 1 Peter 5, verses 4 to 11, and special emphasis in verse 7, because that is really a very encouraging verse for us. 1 Peter 5, verse 4, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Verse 7, "Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that he have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you, verse 7 says. When life has become incredibly difficult in your personal life, we are to cast our cares on the chief shepherd, the good shepherd, as John 10 speaks of. That is Jesus our Lord. When evil is called good, and good is evil, darkness is light, and light is darkness, bitter is sweet, and sweet is bitter, then we are to cast our cares upon him. When evil leaders increase in their wickedness, we are to cast our cares upon him, for he cares for us. I don't know if there is any more comforting words than that, the fact that God cares for us. And this isn't the limited care of a finite being as you and I are. As much care as we want to give one another, it is limited. But this is the eternal care of the Lord God Almighty. He cares for his sheep, and he proved it by laying his life down for us. And so I pray you cast your care upon him, trusting in his eternal care, now and always, especially in the day that we live, to glorify his name, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.